Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Es realmente una bendición muy grande y un privilegio muy grande poder estar aquí.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. It is truly a great blessing and a great privilege to be able to be here on this occasion in the Great 10th Cathedral in Puerto Rico. Today is Sunday, February 16th of this year, 2025. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin there in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico. May God continue blessing him greatly and continue using him mightily in the work of God at this end time, in favor of all the Church of the Lord. Also, happy birthday to our brother, Mr. Benjamin Cruz, whose birthday is today. May God bless him. And to all those who are celebrating their birthday. And my little sister from Colombia, who's turning 10 years old, Rebecca Mandon Ahumada. She has been a miracle since her birth. Her mother was telling me. And today, she's turning 10 years old. And she's very happy, very healthy. Thanks be to our Heavenly Father who granted her life, and also to all of us as well, placing us to live in this such a glorious time. And to everyone whose birthday are this month, may God bless you greatly as well. And to everyone who is visiting us, a warm welcome. And to everyone watching us through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, in the different countries, and to every one of you present here as well. May God bless you greatly. For this occasion, our subject is the title deed in the hands of the human race, preached on December 27th of 2003, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, by Dr. William Soto Santiago. He read the scripture of Revelation 10, verse 1 and on, where it says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." And he writes of redemption. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets." The title deed in the hands of the human race. You may please be seated. The title deed is an abstract book. In the Book of the Seals, on page 89, tells us, let us have here also this one here. And this way we can see all these places, because in each one of them we see here is the other one. Our brother Branham tells us there on page 83 of the Book of the Seals. Now watch. And when he done that, watch what taken place. You talk about a jubilee. There to the right, he writes the year of jubilee. And this one he writes on the right also half hour. There on the top. Now this is exactly the breaking of them seals takes place. We'll get in the half hour of silence just after this. Watch this as we'll start in. We'll finish this up next Sunday night right here. And listen close now. Are you ready? Say amen. In this one he writes to the right, the half hour of silence in heaven. When does it take place? When he takes the deed, the book, and opens it, the half hour begins then. And he writes, there he writes on this one also, future. When all creation was groaning, no one knowed what to do, and John was weeping. There he writes, John weeping. He wrote it to the right. He wrote on all of them, John weeping. Here come the Lamb walked over, and the book was in the hands of the original owner, because man had fell and lost it, and no man was able to take it anymore to redeem the earth. No priest, pope, nothing, as I said. But the Lamb come up. No Mary, no saint this or saint that. The Lamb come up, bloody, slain, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when they seen there was a Redeemer, and all the souls under the altar, above that he writes sixth dimension. When the angels, when the elders, when the everything seen it, when this is done, there to the right, upward, he also writes, everything lays in the future. It yet lays in the future. Tonight, he is a mediator, but he is coming to this. Watch. There he writes, everything lays in the future. And here he writes, it lays in the future. And to the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. That's those that's under the altar that have prayed for long ago. See, they had prayed for redemption, prayed for resurrection. Now, there he draws a star to the right. And here these elders are pouring out their prayers before. Because now we've got a representative, we got a king's man in heaven that's come forth to make his claim. And there he writes, the claim. on this one, on that same paragraph that we just read, where it says, that's those that's under the altar, above that he writes also, in the sixth dimension. And at the end of the paragraph that we read, to the right in the margin, he draws a Star of David. And he writes to the left of that paragraph, altar, prayer. You know that this, just like one puts together a jig puzzle, when we spoke about the teaching under the tent, he used to tell me, it's like a jig puzzle. Now we're really understanding what the teaching under the tent is. And it is a jig puzzle. Everything is coming together. Because it's all there. But God wanted to do it this way so there wouldn't be no impersonations. So that the enemy would not get ahead to deceive the elect. There is a way, there is a method, and the only one who can put that together is the Holy Spirit. And they sang a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to our God, watch, by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. There to the left, on the top part he writes, the resurrection. They wanted to come back. They wanted to come back. And here they are going back to be kings and priests. Glory to God. I feel good enough to speak in tongues. Look. Watch. Yes. It seems like I ain't got enough language. I could praise Him with it. I need one that I don't even know. And He underlines one a lot. And he circles it and he writes Spanish. And here, to the left, he also writes kings and priests. And on this one, he writes to the left as well, future. In other words, that lies in the future. And he writes resurrection and another language. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. Listen, what a jubilee going on when they seen that Lamb come and take the book of redemption. The soul screamed out. And there to the left, he writes jubilee. We'll get it. All, everything. The elders fell down. They poured out the prayers of the saints. What? There was represented a king's man for us. They fell upon their faces, and they sang a song, and said, Thou art worthy, for you were slain. Watch what, and look at these angels. There to the right, he writes upward the prayers. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. What a jubilee going on in heaven when that Lamb leaves that intercessory box to come here to possess his claims. To the right, he writes, John equals the bride / claim. You know that got next to John. He must have saw his name wrote there. When them seal broke, he must have got real happy. He writes there to the right as well, the name in the book. In this one he writes to the left, Jubilee, future. Jubilee, and at the bottom, future. In that paragraph, John saw his name written in the book. Now notice, if John, when that book was opened in heaven, and John represents the church, and he got happy, filled with jubilee, because he saw his name there. What happens when that becomes manifested, materialized on earth? When that book, that seal, that seventh seal is opened, the church bride, the individual, automatically, the predestinated one sees his name there. How can he see it? Because he sees what John saw. He sees the lion of the tribe of Judah. He sees the lamb. Now notice, John saw a lamb. The elder said, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But notice, it is the same one. Now the church bride sees him in this dispensational interlace. She was seeing him as a lamb. Now, when he takes the book and opens it and brings it to earth and gives it to a man, the church bride, through the revelation, sees that he is the Lamb, because he's the same Lord. But with the revelation and the opening of the seventh seal, she understands that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now notice, he goes on to say here, listen what he said. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as within the sea, and all them in them heard me, I say, in blessing, honor, glory, power, to him that sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb, forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. Talk about a jubilee. And about, he writes, 50th year of jubilee. Talk about a time when that lamb walked forth. See, the book is even sealed in heaven. The mysteries are. Say, is my name there? I don't know. I hope it is. But if it is, it was put on the book before the foundation of the world. But the first thing that represented that redemption, come the Lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. And he took the book, glory, opened the book, and tore off the seals, and set it down to the earth, to his seventh angel to reveal it. There he drew a star of David and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And to the left he writes on this one, since it is being reflected in the Reverend William Branham, seventh messenger of the seventh age of the Gentile church under the dispensation of grace, is being reflected this which is happening here. And there he writes, seventh dispensational angel. So there comes the revelation from above. Now this happens to that seventh dispensational angel messenger. Opened the book and tore off the seals and sent it down to the earth to his seventh angel to reveal it to his people. Now, if it is given to an angel messenger, it is because that messenger is in the midst of the church bride. There you are. Oh my. What happened? the screams, the shouts, the hallelujahs, the anointed, the power, the glory, the manifestation. And old John, who had been standing there, our brother, crying. Why? He said, everything in heaven, everything in the earth, and everything in the sea heard me holler, Amen, Amen, blessing, honor, and might and power be to him that lives forever and ever. Talk about a happy time. When them seals broke, John must have looked in, and above that he writes, into the most holy place. And seeing a past the curtain of time, and said, there is John. Oh, what every elect of God has done at this end time. He has looked beyond the curtain of time, and then he says, there I am. And mentions his name there. There I am. Because John already did it. And John represents, typifies the church bride. He was so happy till he said, everything in heaven. He must have really cried out, didn't he? Everything in heaven, everything in the earth, everything beneath the earth, everything else heard me saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and power and might and riches belong to him. Amen. Why? When the revelation come. And he writes, the revelation of the second coming. He wrote it above that. Now do you see? When you can be certain that you are written in the Lamb's Book of Life when you have received the revelation of the second coming of the Lord and you have received it. That automatically seals you and gives you that assurance that you are there, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the revelation comes that the Lamb, the Redeemer, our Kingsman, had come back from the throne of Mediatorial and had walked out here to take his possession. Oh, listen to the words of this hymn. There to the left, he writes upward, Jubilee. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side, and the host of heaven will assembled be. Oh, it will be a glorious sight, all in the saints in spotless white. And with Jesus we shall reign eternally. O come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine on the Word. And to the left he writes, the Master, the Supper. Remember what we read yesterday in the message, who is this Melchizedek? He is the Lord. And he is the Master. Oh, I get without words, see? Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. Now, but when he leaves, there is no hope. He who feed the multitude turned the water into wine. And he writes to the right upward, he that believeth, he that said, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Oh my! He that promised these things in the last days, he that said these things, he that's now in the time of the revelation of these things being made known. Come and dine, oh, don't miss it, my brother. There, on the right, he writes Revelation 19, 1-10. And here he writes, future, supper. In the message, the seventh sealed book, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, which was preached on February 21st, 2016, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. He tells us, Back then, everything was simple. And now, everything will be simple also. But the complete revelation of the mystery of the second coming of Christ will be revealed in a great tenth cathedral that was shown to the Reverend William Branham. Where would the mystery of the second coming of the Lord be revealed, which is the mystery of the seventh seal, in a great tenth cathedral, where the angel of the covenant who delivered the Hebrew people appeared to Moses in a burning bush but was not consumed and told him, I am the God of your father, that is the God of Amram, which shows that Amram was a believer in God and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, how did the Reverend William Branham tell us that the revelation was coming to the people? How did he tell us that that revelation would come? It says on page 107 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 929, it says, and the seer, how the one you know is telling forth, he is divinely vindicated by foreseeing, and it comes to pass. There is the vindication, there where you know whether it's the truth or whether it isn't. Now, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, in that phase, at that time, in specific, when he went to that activity, that was one of the many activities that he went to, or that he was allowed to go to. And there, he saw that manifestation. Therefore, the vindication that everything that had happened before then was the fulfillment of what was promised, that that ministry under the tent would be. Therefore, that vision is showing us there that everything else outside that ministry under the tent is not of God. It is outside of the perfect will of God. Because in that place where he went, the ministry was there, fulfilling what was prophesied, what was spoken by the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, which would be the coming of the Lord to his church in the fulfillment of that angel who was different from the rest, bringing the title deed to his church. And there we are seeing the climax part of that ministry. Therefore, we are already seeing that that is the only ministry that will be seen at the end, because it was seen in a vision working, not only in favor of the church bride, but in favor of the foolish virgin and of the Hebrew people as well. And he says that the third pool also includes the lost. Therefore, he was taken to the place where the pillar of fire was working in the midst of the people that whole time. And he went to that activity. As simple as that. Do you want to follow that ministry, which has already been shown, that will make it to that activity? Well, then you already know where you're going to tune in. As simple as that. But notice how God starts everything in a progressive way, and he gives us more and more light every time until we reach that culminating part. Now he goes on to say, God is speaking back through his word to his people by people. See, God only speaks through man. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And above that, he writes, branches. The vine doesn't bear fruit. The branches talk. And he writes, the ages. bear the fruit of the vine. Notice, it's always been that way. And he writes, divine works through the branches. He wrote it to the side on that paragraph. And above, he writes, all revelation comes by a prophet. He who preaches and it comes to pass, that is the vindication that he is a prophet. And in another line, he writes, the prophet, God only speaks through man. Let me read those writings again. All revelation come by a prophet. He who preaches and it comes to pass, that is the vindication that he is a prophet. The prophet, two dots, God only speaks through man. Which he is telling us here, that the complete revelation of the second coming of Christ will be revealed in a great tent cathedral. And we have already seen how God is going to reveal that. Brother Branham says that all revelation comes through a prophet. Now notice on the seals on page 86. On the book of the seals. He tells us, that's the one that met the requirement. It's on that page, paragraph 137. That's the one met the requirement. Grace produced the person of Jesus Christ. And we find this book now, God stretched his tent. Above that paragraph he writes, God stretched his tent. And to the right, upward, he writes, the tent. Come from God to become a man. He changed his strain from the Almighty to be a man. To take on the form of man so he could die, to redeem man. Wait till we see him when there is nobody worthy, see? All right. In the Bible, in the book of Ruth, as you read it, you find out such a person was called the Goel, G-O-E-L, was called the Goel, or it was a person that could meet the requirement. And the Goel must be able to do it. There he writes one. On Abel, he circles it and writes one. Must be willing to do it. And he writes two. And he circles willing. And must be a kinsman. Next to kinsman to do it. And he circles next kinsman and writes three. And God, the creator of spirit, became kinfolks to us when he became man in order that he could take our sins upon him and pay the price and redeem us back to God again. There it is. There is the Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us now. We are not redeemed, but he has not claimed his possession yet. And at the bottom he writes, the claiming. Here in this book, to the left, in the margin, he writes, Creator of spirits, redeem us back. Creator of spirits, redeem us back. Now, you might differ with that, but just hold on a minute, see? We'll see, see? He hasn't claimed it, see? If he took the book of redemption, everything that Adam had and everything that he lost, Christ redeems back. And he has already redeemed us. But he hasn't took the possession yet. He cannot until the time appointed. Now he writes possession to the right. And then will come the resurrection. Above he writes, in the margin at the top, the time appointed. The time appointed. He writes, the book of life equals the book sealed with seven seals. And he also writes there, the resurrection equals in the claim. And that is in the dispensation of the kingdom. The resurrection could not take place in the dispensation of grace. And then will come the resurrection, and then the earth will be renewed again. And then he'll take the possession, his possession, which he got when he redeemed us. But will do it at the appointed time, oh my. This is described in this seventh seal book that we're talking of now. Alright, the book of redemption is all described in here. All that what Christ will do at the end will be revealed to us this week. And above that, he writes, a day, in the seventh seal, if God will let us see, alright, it will be revealed, and revealed as the seals break and are released to us. Then we can see what this great plan of redemption is, and when and how it's going to be done. It is all hidden in this book of mysteries here. It's sealed, got up with seven seals, and so the Lamb is the only one who can break them. There to the right, he writes, we can understand. And to the left, upward, in two sentences, he writes, what Christ will do in the end is explained in the seals. Now, in Jeremiah, and find out there, when he was going to into the captivity of the land, you know, he bought his uncle, and he went through that sealing. We got that also in the seven church ages, them seals and so forth in there. You see, a seal in the Old Testament was like a roll, like this. And here was a mystery, and this mystery was hidden. Alright, it was sealed around and put here to claim so and so. Then the next mystery was wrapped around what this inheritance was and stuck out here on this side, the claim to so and so. And there on the left, he draws Star of David. And here, in this one, he draws a cornerstone in the ages to the right. And where it says, and how it's going to be done, there an arrow towards the cornerstone. And that is in the previous paragraph, the drawings that I just mentioned to you. And went on down until he made a scroll, because peoples didn't have books like this then. It was in a roll. How many knows that? Called a scroll. Well, a sealed scroll. See if you can find it. There is a place, now that I remember, that he drew to the left. We have mentioned it. He drew a small scroll, and he drew some seals on it. It must be in this blue one. See if you can find that drawing, so that the children can also see it, because they know very well what a book is. But maybe a scroll, and how it was back then. Let's see if we can find it quickly. I don't know if it was this one here. While you find if it's this one, or maybe another one. I knew it was on this book. Let's see if we can do this real quick. In the time of Paul, or of the angel messengers, if they had this technology, it would have been easier for them. but they, the way that God gave them to carry out the work, well, that was the best way. Now, well, we thank God for technology, which in a work like this that is so quick, well, we use all of that in favor of the work. See if it's visible there. I don't know if there is another one, a blue one, where he drew it, but all together, and a little ribbon coming out of each one, out of each scroll. But this that I found quickly here in this book, and in this book, that drawing, there is a page, 224 of the seals. There on the top is where it is. And he writes on that paragraph, the seven scrolls. In other words, below, there on the next paragraph. Notice, there, if we turn there for a moment to 294, look what it says there. And now we find that the Lamb comes out, take the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne, and break the seals, and looses the seals to the people. And there to the left he writes, he opened the seals to reveal them to the people, to his church. And looses the seal to the people, to his church. And the four beasts sitting there that we took in the church ages, the same four beasts, you see them all the way through the scripture, and they are the ones who does the announcing of the seals being broke. Now, we've seen it, a book of redemption. Then we went back and got the King's Man Redeemer, picked him up to see what his work was. And now for all these years, Christ has been doing the King's Man Redeemer work. Now, all that understands that, say amen. Now, he continues saying here on page 87, where we paused halfway that paragraph, 144, says, a sealed scroll. You could break loose one here. What the mystery of this was, and tear it loose, and you could see what the claim was. And then break the other one loose, and you can see what that claim was. And the whole thing here is seven seals, got the mysteries of God from the foundation of the world. And he writes on the right upward, the mysteries of God. And to the left, he writes, Jubilee, the mysteries from the foundation. All sealed up in there, and revealed by seven different seals, that if God willing, let him let us pull back these seals, and look down through the book, and find out what all it's about. See? Oh, I hope we have a great time. There's the mystery of redemption is sealed until this book could not be broken until the last angel's message. The scroll is there. We know it was there. We know that it was redemption. We believed it was redemption. Jeremiah said, this scroll must be kept. As you read it there, he'll say, it must be kept in an earthly vessel, see? Oh, what a beautiful thing there. In Corinthians is where it says, see if you can find it where it says, in an earthly vessel. Jeremiah is the one that Brother Branham mentions there. There he tells us, while you find that other scripture, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. And look, there he draws a Star of David to the right. 2 Corinthians, let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us." And there he also draws Star of David to the right. Now notice, he continues to say, "Oh, what a beautiful thing there." There to the left, he writes, "an earthly vessel." Oh, what a beautiful thing there I could talk about a while. Let us see here for a brief moment in this book. There. To go along with what he wrote to us here. Yep, look in this one where he says, Jeremiah said, "The scroll must be kept. He must be kept in an earthly vessel." Above that he writes, "in Jesus." And to the right, where he says, "the scroll was kept in an earthly vessel," there to the right, he writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 11. Oh, what a beautiful thing there I could talk about a while. This scroll was kept in an earthly vessel, a vessel that once became flesh. Glory. Died, rose again, and kept in an earthly vessel until the time of the purchase. Oh my, beautifully. All right. Now, these messages are all kept up until this earthly vessel, he writes flesh above earthly, until the time of God's appointed time, at the last messenger at the earth, and all that these people has judged at and said, I know it's there, I believe it's there, and they fought at it, and brought it forth and produced the things, by faith they believed it, but now it's going to be brought to us in revelation, and from the hand of God by vindication. God said so, he promised it. Now let us see. Where we're at? Let's go to verse 2 now. That's a long time for verse 1, but let's talk verse 2. Now, we probably won't stay that long on the next one. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open book and to loose the seals thereof?" And there is where he writes, the book of. Now remember, let's read the first verse again so we get it together. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, God. Who is that? The absolutely original holder of the book of life. He holds it. God does. When Adam forfeited, it went back to its original owner. It belongs to him. And John, in the vision, looked over and saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. There to the left, he writes Adam, and he writes, the book of life equals the seals. And also to the right, he writes the same thing, book of life equals the seals. Together with that little part that he had written, the book of, then he wrote that further down. See? Inside. Now, when we go to breaking these seals, you're going to see it's going plumb back in the scripture, all the way back. For each one of those seals. The whole thing together, the whole mystery, lays right here in these seals. And he draws a Star of David to the left. And the seals cannot be broken until that time. And therein, 1, 2, 3, 4, in 4 lines, upward he writes, all the mysteries of the Bible lay in the seals. All the mysteries of the Bible lays in the seals. And on this one he draws a Star of David to the left. The whole thing together. The whole mystery lays right here in this seal, see? Every mystery of the Bible lays in these seals. And the seals cannot be broken until that time. I prove it here, just in a minute. Notice, now, the book, remember, is sealed. Here is one, here it is, this seal. Then another one is wrapped, a seal. Another one is wrapped, a seal. It's a book of redemption. And the whole thing together makes the book, and it's sealed with seven seals. And then it's on the back side, it's because it's wound up. The seal mystery is on the inside. And it only says the white horse rider or the black horse rider and what more on the outside. But the mystery of the whole book is in them seals, from Genesis to Revelation. The complete plan of redemption is revealed in these seven seals. Oh, it's an important time. God help us to get it. See? And there to the right, upwards, he writes, the plan of redemption. Now, a strong angel, now verse 2, this strong angel with a loud voice proclaiming who is worthy. Worthy for what? Who is worthy to take that book? Now, we find out, where is the book at now? To its original owner. Because it has been forfeited by a son, the first son of God in human race. And when he forfeit his rights to listen to Satan, he gave up. What did he do? He accepted Satan's wisdom instead of God's word. Now, couldn't we stop here a while? Sons of God will take a seminary's idea about it instead of the word of God. See? Same thing Adam did. Forfeited his rights. And when it did, he went right straight back. Can't you see where those ages has been? See? Went right straight back to the original holder. And John in the Spirit, standing up here in heaven, he's just been lifted up now from the church ages, see? So the church ages. And then he was taken up in the fourth chapter. He said, come up hither, and I'm going to show you things that will come. And he saw one sitting upon the throne with this book in his hand, in his right hand. Think of it now. There to the left he writes, Revelation 4. And to the left, Revelation 4. And to the right he writes, the rapture dash Revelation 4. And then in this book was the title deed to redemption, and it was sealed with seven seals. And then an angel came forth, a strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice, who was worthy to open the book, to take the book? Who was able to open the seals? Who was able to open this book? See, the angel asked it. John saw it, and he said, now, who is worthy? Let him, oh my, maybe I'm just feeling this away. But let him, said the angel, let him. Here is the book of redemption. Here is the plan of redemption. Here is the only way you'll ever be redeemed, for here is the title deed to redemption of the whole heavens and earth. And there to the left, upward, in two sentences he writes, the deed of the heavens and the earth. Let him come forth if he will. Oh my, now speak or forever hold his peace. Let him come forth and claim this book. Who is worthy to do it? And John said, there was no man in heaven found worthy. No man on earth found worthy. No man beneath the earth that ever lived and died was found worthy. No man was found worthy. The angel's call was a call for a kinsman redeemer to appear. God said, I have a law. A kinsman redeemer can be a substitute. Where is that kinsman redeemer? Who is able to take it? And he come from Adam all the way down through all the apostles and prophets. and everything else, and nobody was found. Now, what about that? Nobody in heaven, nobody on earth, nobody that ever lived. Elijah was standing there, Moses was standing there, all the apostles were standing there, and all the ones that died, all the holy men, Job, the sages, everyone was standing there, and nobody was worthy even to look at the book. Now notice, Elijah was there, Moses was there. And he says that at the end time, he will send the ministry of Elijah and the ministry of Moses. It's not that he's going to send them in the bodies where that ministry operated, but rather the ministry that operated in them will come. Everyone was standing there and nobody was worthy even to look at the book, let alone take it and break the seals. Now, where is the Pope and all those coming at? Where is your bishop? Where is our witnesses? We are nothing, that's right. He asked for a kinsman redeemer to step forward if he could. But John said no man was worthy. Not that there wasn't worthy people there now, like an angel, like, for instance, we would say Gabriel or Michael. And he writes on the left upward, Gabriel and Michael. And to the right here, he also writes, Gabriel, Michael. But remember, it had to be a kinsman. Remember, John said here, and no man, not angel, not seraphim, they hadn't sinned, but they were in a different category. They had never fallen. But this had to be a kinsman redeemer. No man, because there was none of them redeemed. Above he writes, there was no redeemed man in an eternal body. Everything was lost, and John wept. That on the top part. There was no redeemed man in an eternal body. Everything was lost, and John wept. No man, because there was none of them redeemed. No man was worthy to look at it. Oh no, my. So it took a human kinsman, and he asked for it, and he wasn't found nowhere. There was nobody, no bishop, no archbishop, no priest, no hierarchy, no nothing, was even, didn't even have the holiness enough to even look at the book. Who am I? That's pretty strong, but that's what the Bible said. I'm just quoting what John said. The Bible said that John wept. Here in this other one, in that previous paragraph, he draws Star of David. He also writes, redeemed men. Not as some people has taught it. I was hearing a man teach this one time, said, John wept because that he found himself not worthy. Oh, any man under the Holy Spirit would know different from that, see? Under the inspiration of God, will know different from that. But John wept. Here is what I think he wept for. Because if no one was worthy and could open this book of redemption, the whole creation was lost. So was the situation. That's God's own law, and he can't defile his law. Can't defy his law, rather, see? Here he writes, John wept, everything lost. And he also draws Star of David there to the left. God required the kinsman redeemer who was worthy, who was able to do it, who had the substance to do it. And the angel said, now let that kinsman redeemer step forward. And John looked, and he looked all over the earth, he looked beneath the earth, and there was nobody. Their creation and everything was lost. Of course, John wept. Everything was lost. And to the right he drew a Star of David. His crying didn't last but just a minute, though. Then there stood one of the elders, said, don't weep, John. Oh my, his crying didn't last but just a minute. John thought, oh my, where is the man? There stands the prophet that was born like I was. There stand the sages. There stands, oh, ain't there nobody here? There to the left, upward, he writes, everything was lost. unless the Kinsman Redeemer appeared, a human being. Everything was lost unless the Kinsman Redeemer appeared, a human being. Now we can go on seeing where it's moving to, which is God's purpose to take the book. Who will receive it? Here on earth, whom will receive it? All of us. Now notice. I want a man that's able to do it. I want a man that can redeem. And he wasn't found. So John broke out. Oh, everything was lost, and he wept bitterly. Here I skipped the paragraph here where he also wrote, in that previous paragraph, notice, there to the left he writes, of course, your margin may probably be full, but you can write it there on the right side. He writes, creation was lost, John wept. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he draws a Star of David. Notice. He goes on to say, I want a man that's able to do it. I want a man that can redeem. And he wasn't found, so John broke out. Oh, everything was lost, and he wept bitterly. And he was sad because everything, the whole creation, everything was gone if they couldn't find somebody. And there he draws Star of David to the right. Glory to God. If they couldn't find somebody that can meet the requirements, then every human being and the whole world and creation was gone. Oh, everything had fallen. The rights of the redemption, the rights of eternal life, the light, all these rights had been forfeited. And there was nobody who could pay the price. And John starts crying because no one was worthy and no one could even look at the book. Oh, it took a human being and he drew a Star of David to the left. To the left, he drew a Star of David. John wept because no one could do it and everything was lost. It's good for you to see it from now on with more attention so that you can see how he's framing this here. And there you can see, just based on this, what he's trying to tell us there. In that portion that we just read, notice. In the way he places this here. With what he wrote to the left. With what the meaning of those two olive trees is. I don't know if you can see it or distinguish it there. Now. Let us turn for a moment here to the Book of the Ages, unedited. I have the booklet here, which is where he wrote to us on page 63. On the booklet in is page 21 of Revelation chapter 5, number 1. On paragraph 131. Page 21 to 23. Say, for instance, if I owed a piece of property and I lost it, and I sold it over to Brother Neville, which is of another tribe, of Judah, or maybe sold it to an alien, And he rightfully owned it. He owned it. He could come in there and farm it and take the goods off of it and so forth. But really, he just held the deed. He draws to the left the Star of David. He could not own it. That was the law in Israel. Now you read in Leviticus 25th, and you see that they could not rightfully own it. And above that he writes, they did not have the title deed. He just held it. Well, now, for instance, my son wanted, Billy back there, wanted to take my, come by this ground. Well then, if the alien or Brother Neville or some other person owned it, was holding the deed to it. Above that he writes, usufruct. Now, if this was my next kinsman, was my blood relation, he could not hold it any longer. No, sir. He had to give it over, yes, sir, when that price was paid. When he gave him, say, $25,000 for the piece of property. Now at the top here in this book, in the booklet, he writes, The Lamb's Book of Life, a title, a deed, that is for usufruct, but not the title deed, which is the Book of the Seven Seals. The Lamb's Book of Life, a title, a deed, that is for usufruct, but not the title deed, which is the Book of the Seven Seals. Well then, say, Brother Tony would come over and say, Brother Neville, I'll buy Brother Branham's property. He couldn't do it. Brother Neville say, no sir, I don't want to sell it. Well, what do you give for it? $25,000. Well, I'll give you $35,000. I'll give you so and so. I don't care what you want. I don't want to sell it. I'll keep it. But Billy Paul could come along and say, I want my daddy's possession. Here's your $25,000. He had to let it go. To the left he draws Star of David. That's right. Because that was a law. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you Christians see it. We are the salt of the earth. God gave this to his sons. He gave us the jurisdiction over all nature, all animals, all life everywhere. There to the left he draws Star of David. And to the right upwards he writes in two lines, the inheritance of the children of God in the year of Jubilee. The inheritance of the children of God in the year of Jubilee. But Adam, our father, forfeited to Satan. But where does it fall back? To the rightful owner, God who made it. Amen. No wonder John said, wept bitterly, for he could find no man who was worthy to redeem it. The man must be worthy, John said. I weep bitterly when no one was able to take the book or to look on it or loose the seals thereof. He said, no, not man in heaven, nor man in earth, no man beneath the earth, no man everywhere. No man. Now, he never disregarded angels. There he writes to the left, Gabriel, remember, this earth wasn't given to angels. It's the inheritance of man. Gabriel was worthy, sure. Somebody else was worthy. Michael might have been. Not as he might have been worthy to do it, but there was no man worthy, see? And John wept loud. And to the left he writes, John wept. Somebody said, because he found himself not worthy, that isn't so. The man was under the influence of the Holy Ghost. He couldn't make an error like that. But he wasn't him, not only worthy, he could find nobody worthy. So just then he said, an elder came forth, or a strong angel said, weep not, for for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, amen, the root of David has prevailed, amen, conquered. In other words, he is worthy to take the book, amen. And here on the left, he draws Star of David and he writes upward, the root of David. Remember, he hasn't seen him up to this time. Why? He was sitting on a seat, on a throne in there, God's throne. He was on the inside of the sanctuary, and he writes, the most holy place. He hadn't seen him to this time. So John was expecting to see a lion come forth, but he saw a lamb. And to the left he writes, most holy place, seventh dimension. There you are, brother. Through meekness, through sweetness, through Holy Spirit, that we conquer. Not some great, mighty, intellectual giant, but he that can humble himself is the man who conquers. The man who can be kicked around and still be a servant of Christ. That's the conqueror. And above that paragraph, he writes, the conqueror, dash, the lion, two dots, a man. Now, he said, he has prevailed, and he is worthy to take the book and to open it and to loose the seals thereof. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now he said, he has prevailed, and he is worthy to take the book, and to open it, and to loose the seals thereof. Now we're going to find out after a while, maybe not in today, but what these seven seals hold, what they did. Now let's take a little bit on redemption. Before this person could redeem, the first thing, he had to be worthy. First, he had to be what? Worthy. He had to be the right kind of person. So this was accomplished when Jesus Christ was born, a virgin birth, for he was God. And we have been born again. Now follow along with him. He was God himself, made a man. He was God in human flesh. He had to be worthy. And the virgin blood, and he writes birth, and the virgin blood of Jesus Christ made him worthy. Now we find that if you want to go to the scripture of it, of 1 Peter 1:18 to 20, if you're keeping the scriptures down, he had to be worthy. There he writes upward to the left, he had divine blood like Adam. Now, with the new birth, you already know which blood runs through you. And he was, because he took upon him the form of a man. He became a man. God became kingfolks to us. And there we find, then the beautiful part of God, Jehovah made flesh and dwelt among us as the worthy one. Now notice, he was worthy to take the book because he became man. And we are worthy because we came to this planet Earth in this body and we were born again. Now, where does the book go? He was worthy in heaven, in the seventh dimension. He came forth in that glorified body, and he was able to take the book. He was found worthy. Now notice in the Book of the Seals on page 133, let us go where the scripture will lead us to a certain place here. Notice, Also on this book, let's leave it open here. Page 133, paragraph 148. And notice the first seal opened. The first seal, when it was opened in the symbol form, it thundered. Now, what about when it's open in its reality form? It thundered as soon as the Lamb struck back the seal. And what did it reveal? Not all of itself. First, it was God. Next, it's in a symbol. Then it's revealed. Three things, see, it's coming forth from the throne. First, it can't be seen, heard, or nothing. It's sealed up. The Lamb's blood paid the price. It thundered when he spoke it out. And when he did, a white horse rider started out. And it still was a symbol. There he writes symbol. Now watch. He said it would be known in the last day. But it comes forth in a church symbol. Do you understand the church? It comes forth in a symbol of a church. That they know there is a seal. But just what it is, yet they don't know. Because it's a white horse rider. And only is to be revealed at the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. And there he writes, at the top, when the actual seal is broken. Which seal? The seventh seal. And he writes, the book of the seven seals open to the church. In other words, look, he also writes here the same thing. The seals broken, not to Christ, but for the church. And there in that paragraph, at the end, he draws Star of David to the left. And here he writes future. He also draws Star of David and a cornerstone and the ages. Now, if he was found worthy, then the ones who are receiving that title deed are worthy as well. Now, where does it say in Luke chapter 21? Let us see. Where it says that may we be accounted worthy. Chapter 21 of Luke. Verse 34, notice it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with sorrowing and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. We have been accounted worthy for Him to reveal these mysteries to us and make known to us the mystery of His coming. Now notice, He continues to say here in the book of the ages, on Revelation chapter 5, number 1, paragraph 145, He says, He prevailed, God took on the form of human flesh, He came to the earth, was born a little baby, and walked among us, and through His holy blood He prevailed. Now in the Old Testament, how a man was to proclaim his own, what did he do? He took an elder, 10 elders, and went to the gate and introduced what he was doing, to redeem what he had been lost. And he showed who he was, and he was going to give a witness. We find this beautiful story here, as I had a little note wrote here too, so I wouldn't forget it, being nervous this morning, upon Ruth, the kinsman and boss. We went through it not long ago. I want you to notice the three stages now of this resting. I want you to notice the resting of the church, just exactly the same thing. Now watch. The first place we find, as we've all been through that sermon, the Kinsman Redeemer. God was made flesh in order to become the Redeemer. He was the one here in the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter said, there to the left he writes, Revelation 5 equals claiming voice. And below here he writes, God made flesh equals the Kinsman Redeemer. In the fifth chapter said, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book or to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He is the one. He is that one we're looking at. And to the right, he writes, the Lion. And above, he writes, Naomi dash Israel, Ruth dash the Bride, Boaz dash Christ. And there he also writes, Elimelech. Now let us continue here where we paused on the Book of the Seals. We were on page 91, was it? 91. There on the page 91, paragraph 174 says, and there came a voice from one of the elders standing in the midst of the four beasts and all that great host of heavens said, don't weep, John, oh my grace of God. Don't be broken hearted, John, don't weep. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root and offspring of David, he has prevailed. And at the bottom on the right, on page 76, he writes, the Lion. And he draws a star of David. And at the top on 77, above, he writes, Root and offspring of David. And he writes here at the bottom, one of the 24 elders. Now he continues to say, prevail means wrestle with and overcome. Oh my! The Garden of Gethsemane, when blood dropped down out of his face, he was overcoming. Although it seemed the most terrible thing, the most difficult thing for Jesus, there he was overcoming. The Lion and the Root of David has prevailed, has overcome. And there to the left, he writes, Lion. Now, he continues saying here in this message, we began to read the seven sealed book. He goes on to say, the book of the seven seals, or sealed with seven seals, is the Lamb's book of life, where the names of all the believers in Christ who would form his church are written. They have been written there before the foundation of the world. There is also the section called the Book of Life, from where people can be blotted out. But those people are not God's chosen ones, God's born-again elect. Those people, notice, they can be written in the Book of Life without having been born again. Those people are in the other section called the Book of Life. The same book, but with another section. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit are blotted out from there, which are the ones who attribute to the devil the works that God does in the different times, and mainly at this end time. In other words, they are the ones who at this end time do that and attribute what is happening in the great tent cathedral to the devil, saying that he's an impostor, that he's an usurper, and all those things. These people are categorized there. For example, notice the same thing happened in the time of Jesus. For example, when they told Jesus he was Beelzebub and that he casted out devils by the finger of Beelzebub. See, they were blaspheming Jesus. in whom the Holy Spirit was incarnate. But Christ says, when the Holy Spirit comes, which came on the day of Pentecost to His church, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, neither in this world nor in the world to come. In other words, he will not be forgiven back in the time of the day of Pentecost, nor in the dispensation of grace, nor will it be forgiven at any time. In other words, they have already crossed the line between mercy and grace, and there is no longer an opportunity for that person. And they begin to say and joke about that. The mockers, keep making those little jokes. There they are categorized. And those who mistreat the children of God will also be blotted out from that section, if they are in that section. They may be part of the foolish virgins, and if they are foolish, well, they are foolish people who, like the foolish virgins, didn't take oil, didn't take the Holy Spirit. They make mistakes, and a mistake of that kind will cost them their names being blotted out of the Book of Life. Now, notice in the Book of the Ages, on page 371, the Reverend William Branham tells us, from this other one, here is, let us see here, on page 371, says, I don't know if in Spanish it's the same page where it begins. Now watch this doctrine of Balaam most carefully. Notice above all that it is the deliberated maneuver of a corrupt clergy to bind the people to them. If we confirm the page so that you have the same one. Where he begins to say, now watch this doctrine of Balaam most carefully. Here is 371. Is that the one? In Spanish, 419 is in yours. So you can follow. 419. Here's 371. Now watch this doctrine of Balaam most carefully. Notice above all that it is the deliberated maneuver of a corrupt clergy to bind the people to them by leading the people deliberately into the sin of unbelief. The Nicolaitan doctrine was the corruption of the clergy as they sought political power amongst themselves, while Balaamism is the subjection of the people to their system of creed and worship in order to hold them. Now, watch this carefully. What was it that bound the people to the nominal church and thereby destroyed them? It was the creeds and dogmas formed into church tenets. It was the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They were not given the true food, the Word. They were given the food that came from idol worship, Babylonian paganism wrapped up in Christian terminology. And that very same spirit and doctrine is right amongst all Protestants and is called denomination. Nicolaitanism is organization, humanizing the leadership of the church, and thereby deposing the spirit. Balaamism is denominationalism, which takes the church manual instead of the Bible. And right to this hour, many of God's people are caught in the snare of denominationalism, and God is crying to them, come out of here, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. You see, they're ignorant. But if the rapture should take place at this moment, ignorance would be no court of appeal from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. In other words, you should know what path you are on and whose ranks you are in. Who is your leader? Our leader is the Holy Spirit. But when you have another leader instead of the Holy Spirit, there you are on this road, on this path, in these ranks. Now notice there is a message that Dr. William Soto Santiago preached to us. Let us see here. On 2009, on February 21, 2009, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, the one who reveals secret things, he says, it's just like when a person sees that they post negative things on the internet about someone else, and then they call other people, the news spread to other people, and they tell them, go to such and such a page and look at everything they're doing against so and so. And they call many friends, and that page becomes the main page. And when they type the person's name, the first page that appears is that one. All the negative things they speak about him, and that is harmful to the person. Ignorance doesn't free the person of responsibility. Ignorant people are fools, and fools have no promise of blessing. Notice that Lot's wife, God told them not to look back, and she looked. That did not exempt her of responsibility. God didn't have to tell her what would happen if she looked. When God says something, whether he explained what will happen or not, it will happen. He explained to Adam that if he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he would die. But he did not explain it to Eve. Adam was the one who explained it to her later on. Because God explained it to Adam when Adam was in his heavenly body. Now, notice how dangerous is to be in the enemy's ranks. Now notice, he continues to say here, in the seven sealed book, the idolaters as well. Anyone who turns to idolatry, if his name is written there, it will also be blotted out, unless he repents on time. If he is in idolatry and comes to the feet of Christ, then he obtains mercy. Even if he ends up belonging to the section of the foolish virgins in the book of life. And for those who, like Judas Iscariot, who was written in the section of the book of life, not in the section of the Lamb's book of life, there will also be Judases who will rise up against the coming of the Lord at the last day, and who will fight against the coming of the Lord. And he doesn't have to be a minister. That represents ministers and people as well. As the scripture says in Revelation chapter 19, they will also go through the same situation as Judas Iscariot. They will lose the opportunity of eternal life, just as Judas Iscariot lost it. So we can see that the book of life, which is the book of the seven seals, has those sections. One of those who can never be lost. All of us are there. The section of the Lamb's book of life. Because they are the seed of God, the elect of God, the firstborn written in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life, who would hear the word, the divine revelation, the message pertaining to the time in which they would be given to live, which would come from God by His Spirit through the messenger of each age. It is always that way. Anyone may say, I received the message of the messenger Noah, and I'm building an ark. That time has already passed, and if he had been back then, he would not collaborate with Noah because he's trying to do it now, in a time which is not the time of Noah's Ark. He has to be in the age with the message pertaining to that age, given by the Holy Spirit through the instrument that he has for that time. As simple as that. With that message, God will open the scripture to you and your understanding to comprehend, and you will be able to hear in your hearts and in your ears the words that Jesus said to Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 16:17. Notice there is a place here where Brother Branham, here it is in Spanish, but big. It is also here in English, but notice. Here on this page, this is the message, the Easter seal. Notice what Brother Branham tells us here. On page 19, on the Easter seal, paragraph 125. Notice, God's life, which in the Greek called Zoe, moving through them and in them, quickened their minds to his word. He drew a star of David to the right and one on the left. Now, let me say it real quickly now. The Spirit of God that moves among the people quickens the mind of the person to the promise of God. See? It does it. And notice the writing that he places there. He quickens the mind to the promised word. The Holy Spirit, notice, there, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. That is the Holy Spirit quickening that promise in Peter's mind. Now, at this end time, he also quickens that promise in our mind. He brings it to life. Now he goes on to say here, what did Peter see? That Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah in his coming at that time. They did not know the first and second coming of Christ. But the prophecy spoke of things that corresponds to the second coming of Christ. And a bit further on says, he goes on to say, if the cornerstone comes, which is the Messiah, there must be a cornerstone age. If there isn't, he forms it. There, in that age of the cornerstone, is where God will reveal the new name of the Lord. For Christ says through his Spirit that he will write upon him the name of his God, the name of the city of his God, and his new name. And if he said so, that's how it is. Even if we don't understand it, we believe it, and we will understand it later on. Therefore, we have to be prepared for those glorious moments that are promised for the believers in Christ at this end time. In the message, it is the rising of the sun. The Reverend William Branham tells us on page 31, paragraph 246, he says, like the Pentecostal experience today and the coming of the Holy Ghost in these last days, as promised, is like the abstract to a title deed, see? Now, you can get a title, sure, see? You can get a title to a place, but that still don't say it's yours. No, sir. Somebody way back yonder could come in and put a claim on it. But when you get an abstract, that shows that everything that's ever against it is struck off, plumb back from the foundation. There to the right he writes, claim abstract. Is that right? And when a man has said that he believes the word, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, it is the abstract to the title. And that gives you permission, when you have that abstract, that every bit of that belongs to you, and everything is on, it belongs to you. In a message around here, I also saw a place where, in this message, possessing all things, there, I brought it only for that part, because if we get into that, we want to make the most of time. Notice on this message, on page 16, there he tells us, so you can write it down, and on the front he writes, he is heir to a title deed of the whole universe. In other words, of everything. And remember that everything is returning back to Eden. Now he goes on to say, and that gives us the abstract. When the Holy Ghost comes upon this title deed that God saw back yonder from the foundation of the world and put a name on the book of life, but was born through a man and a woman and subject to sin and guilty of sin. But when I believed on it, I received the deed. But when the Holy Ghost come, it was the abstract that everything against me, whether my mother done it, my father done it, my grandmother done it, like the little epileptic child I prayed for a few minutes ago, that come through from the grandparents. The epilepsy fell down, and upon the child I said, but when the abstract has come, it struck off, omitted everything. And the abstract has come. It omits all of that. May God deliver all my brethren who have that trouble of epilepsy. May that illness be removed from your life. Since he specifically mentioned that here. I'm an abstract holder then. Amen. And as sure as the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I have an abstract deed that I am part of that body, with the abstract of the Holy Ghost making that body of word live out just exactly like it did in him, as he promised in the last day, the abstract. Now, our brother William continues to say here, a bit further on, or right there, he says, the seven-sealed book is the Lamb's Book of Life. It is the title deed of eternal life. It is the title deed of all creation, which Adam lost and which went back to the right hand of God, so that the enemy of God, the devil, could not manage to take it from Adam. If he had taken of the tree of life, he would have lived eternally. He was not a literal tree, he was Christ, the tree of life. In Revelation tells us something very important, something that Adam was not able to obtain. The question would be, if you had been with Adam back then, or you have been Adam, would have you tried to eat of the tree of life? Well, he was supposed to do that when the tree of life became flesh, when the angel of the covenant who accompanied him appeared, clothed in human flesh. There was the time to eat of the tree of life. Here also in this message, the Easter seal, on page 34, there he tells us, it didn't glorify Moses, didn't glorify Elijah, didn't glorify themselves, didn't glorify nothing else, but they seen the glorified Christ. And any true believer, that's what is in his heart, to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to get people to see. Not to say, well, if you come join our group, if you come do this or that, or don't do that, don't do that. See God's word, which is Christ, magnified, and fulfill the promise of this day, in this great hour of resurrection. Notice, and it gives them joy to know that we are with him, a flesh of his flesh, a bone of his bone. What a joy. And he writes there, to see Jesus glorified equals to see the word incarnate in the second coming of Christ. I'll read it again. To see Jesus glorified equals to see the Word incarnate in the second coming of Christ. Now, he continues to say here, notice, the seventh sealed book is the title deed of the heavens and the earth, the title deed of all creation. And it is brought to the church at this end time in Revelation chapter 10 by the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, who is Christ, the same one who appeared to Moses and the same one who became flesh in the veil of flesh called Jesus, and the same one who has been in his church in Holy Spirit, in a heavenly body, covered with that pillar of fire that accompanies him. In the same message, it is the rising of the sun. On page 40, tells us on paragraph 315, now look at transfiguration. We was everyone represented there. And he writes to the left, we were represented there. There was the living saints that had raptured. There was Elijah standing there, and there stood Moses. The dead saints on the right, he writes, Revelation 11, 3-7, and 7, 2-17. And he writes, Moses. Also, both of them had quickened power, where the one died, and the other didn't die. They're all there. Notice, oh, look what we are now seeing in these last days. The same thing that he promised, John 14, 12. Now look. Certainly, people say, you claim to have power. No, no, no. We're just like them at Mount Transfiguration. He draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left. See, certainly, we do not claim power. But we, like they was on Mount Transfiguration, they wasn't saying, Moses say, see who I am? See who I am? There he writes, Mount Transfiguration. The disciples say, see who I am? See who I am? Do you know what happened? Notice, they seen Jesus glorified. That's all they wanted to see represented, Jesus glorified. Above he writes, Jesus glorified appears with Elijah and Moses. And so it is today. We don't try to be some big person. We don't care what the people say about us. Our name ain't nothing. It's his name. And he writes there the name. Our life is nothing. It's his life. It's his power. Not our power, and there is only one thing that we love to do, is see him glorified. Now how? He told us there, how would we see him glorified in his second coming? And how can it be when he's glorified in us, by his resurrection that's in us, we see him represented again? And he writes in Elijah, as he was today. In Elijah, Jesus glorified. He also wrote that. Did you get that? See, our desire is not to be glorified. Our desire is not some big name. Our desire is not boost some church or make more in the Sunday school or try to bring in, hug, tie, push in, offer a picnic party or bring stars, buttons or something else like that. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see him glorified. Glorified what? Not with self-pride, but in us, our lives, to prove he is alive and living in us. And to the left he writes, he lives. And to the right he writes, Jesus glorified. If I can get myself out of the way, so when William Branham not even thought of, and you not even thought of, till we can see Jesus glorified among us. And to the side he writes, Jesus glorified. See him. That's our desire. That's the quick, give us the quickening power. And it gives us joy to know that we are with him, both flesh and bone of him, being the bride of him, and seeing his same vindicated methods, proven in us that he is now risen from the dead, and he drew a cornerstone in the ages. See? No wonder he said, fear not. For now, notice, we are redeemed by him, and now risen with him. That's what Easter means to the people. Risen with him. Notice, now, we have his spirit in us, the abstract deed fully paid. No? You don't say, there he writes abstract. You don't say, well, I hope I make it. You've already made it. Not, I will make it. I've already made it. I never made it. He made it for me. See? Not me. Him. Well, Brother Branham, they say, I don't care what they say. There he made it for me. That's all I want. I'm caring about. I just want to see him manifested. How can you do it? Call him down? No. He is in you. See? He is in you. Well then, Lord, if I can get myself out of the way, you can manifest. And he writes there, how to do so that he manifests himself with Elijah and Moses. How can you do it? Because you ordained it so. All that the Father has given me will come. Now notice this tremendous declaration here that he writes in the back. The abstract title deed is the Holy Spirit. Now, where would this be obtained? In the most holy place. There is where the Holy Spirit comes to the church bride, which is the stage of the age of the cornerstone. He comes incarnate and in each soul of each elect, because they had it in the ages in spirit, and moved on to the most holy place, to the soul of each elect. Now first, in the first coming of the Lord, one would accept and believe in that work. One would receive and believe it, and then a work was carried out. Now notice, our brother William continues to say here, and at the last day, it is promised that he will come for his church to take her to the marriage supper of the Lamb. His church is all those who will be eating of the tree of life to live eternally in the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, which will be established on this earth. In the message, who is this Melchizedek? He tells us, let us find it. On page 19, because we read this yesterday, a small portion here. It says, notice, after the battle was over, Melchizedek served his victorious child communion. Think of that, part of himself. Now we want to see here, in type here, is in view the communion. After the battle he gave of himself, because the communion is part of Christ. And after the struggle, and he writes the ages, is over, after you've done, got yourself wiped out, then is when you partake of Christ. And he writes the theophany. Now we saw there that part of in the rising of the sun, what was spoken to us there. And he writes, they become the Word. And he draws Star of David. Then is when you partake of Christ, become part of that being. You get it? And he writes, the incarnation of the Word in the children of Abraham. Jacob wrestled all night and wouldn't turn him loose until he blessed him. That's right. Battle for life. And after the battle is over, and he writes of the seventh seal, then God gives you of himself. And he writes the theophany. That is his true communion. The little bread and wafer just represents it. You shouldn't take it, lest you've wrestled it out and become part of God. And he writes, born again. Remember, at this time, the communion had never been instituted, not until before the death of Jesus Christ, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. And he writes, the spiritual communion. But Melchizedek, after his child Abraham had won the victory, Melchizedek met him and gave him wine and bread, showing that after this earthly battle is over, we will meet him in the heavens and take the communion. There he draws a cone of stone and he writes, come up hither, Revelation 4:1, and take the communion again. It will be the wedding supper. I will not drink no more of the wine or eat the fruit until I eat it and drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. And he writes there, with Moses and Elijah. Our brother William goes on to say here, it has been a great privilege for me to be with you on this occasion, testifying to you about this Bible study of the seventh seal book, which was in the right hand of God and was given to Christ, and which he brought it to earth on Revelation 10 and gives it to a man for him to eat it and prophesy before many people, nations, tongues, and kings. And in Revelation 11, the prophetic ministry of Moses and Elijah appears, speaking of the things which must come to pass. And where will all of this be made known? And now we can say that God is fulfilling that. Notice on this message, this that I'm reading from 2003. Let me correct, 2016. And in 2012, he tells us in the message, God vindicating his word in each time, which was preached on July 7, 2012. He says, for example, the vision of the 10th cathedral is a promised word, a prophetic word that has to be fulfilled to and in the midst of the Christianity at the end time. And when we are seeing that promise being fulfilled, we will be seeing the promised word in relation to that promise being vindicated, being made a reality, and the believers enjoying all those blessings, both of seeing the things that were prophesied by the Holy Spirit by means of the Reverend William Branham. And they will be enjoying the blessings that God will be given in the fulfillment of that promise, because they are great blessings that God has to give His church. For instance, the faith to be transformed in rapture will be obtained in the fulfillment of the vision of the great 10th cathedral, where the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10 will be speaking to His church and will be revealing to her the seventh seal, that is, the mystery of the second coming of Christ. And there are many who say, no, the thunders were spoken in 74 to 77. Notice how the intellectual mind there, the human mind, can take that word, and they do not obtain the revelation of what was brought. But the spiritual mind, when it sees the fulfillment of that word, it says, this is what I was waiting for. This was what was spoken. This is the fulfillment. For instance, the faith to be transformed in rapture will be obtained in the fulfillment of the vision of the great 10th cathedral, where the seven thunders of Revelation 10 will be speaking to his church and will be revealing to her the seventh seal. Remember, there is no contradiction in the word, as we recently read. Wherever you may see a contradiction, there is actually a revelation there. In other words, the mystery of the second coming of Christ. We are in the time in which at any moment, Christ will complete his church, and then he will come out of the throne of intercession and take the title deed from the right hand of God, and that's how the second Adam, who is Christ, receives the title deed. As Adam received it from God but was taken away from him, Christ will take it from the right hand of the Father of God, opens it in heaven, brings it to earth in Revelation chapter 10, and places it in his church, because he takes it not for himself but for his church, as we read in the book of the seals, and will place it in his church in order to have the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. When the tenth vision is fulfilled, there we will have more information, more revelation, more knowledge regarding that entire divine program that corresponds to the end time. Where would we seek for more information? In the fulfillment of the tenth vision. And what have we been receiving already for some time? More information. That is already being fulfilled. More revelation. More knowledge regarding that entire divine program which corresponds to the end time, where the pillar of fire will be present, the pillar of fire which appeared to Moses and delivered the people of Israel from bondage in Egypt, who is Christ, the angel of the covenant, the same pillar of fire that appeared to Saul of Tarsus and says to Saul of Tarsus, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the prick." Now notice, that same pillar of fire that led the Hebrew people, they had it there incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And the religious leaders could say, "I have Moses, the law, and the prophets." And as we also read from a message, Peter could say, "But I have the one who was leading the Hebrew people through Moses. I have him made flesh." And notice, throughout the ages, the Holy Spirit was in the midst of the ages under the dispensation of grace. But notice, at the end, that pillar of fire allowed itself to be photographed with the Reverend William Branham. In other words, it appeared here on his chest. And then, I don't know if you have that picture, so that you may see what I'm talking about. And it also allowed itself to be photographed above our brother Branham. Now, on page 154 of the Book of the Seals, he said, "When this Holy Spirit that we have, it was in the midst of the people of God back then in the seventh age, but he said that it would come incarnate in a man. Now, we can see the Holy Spirit in the midst of the ages." He says, there it is, here. It allowed itself to be photographed in that halo here. And then on the other one, which was above his head. But notice, now the people of God have it in human flesh. And the same one who went those 40 years in the wilderness represented by the ages, where it is a type and figure of those 40 years in the wilderness, notice, that same one is in the midst of his church as he promised it. There it is, above his head. It allowed itself to be photographed. Now notice, while Brother Branham was in the sixth dimension, he could see everything that you are seeing. He saw preaching. He saw altar call. He saw prayer line. He saw the pillar of fire speaking to the one who was there. Now, by him being in that dimension, he could see the one that spoke to him. You can only see that veil of flesh. But he said there, in "It is the rising of the sun," if I can get myself out of the way, in other words, this outer shell, and you could see what's behind it, you would be seeing the same thing Brother Branham saw. Now, what God is carrying out in the midst of his church is something so great, but in such a simple way. And there is where they stumble. Always with the veil, it has always been that way. Now, he goes on to say here, in other words, I'm now on the book I'm reading from the beginning, the seventh sealed book. In other words, the order, or what God says through his Spirit, for you to prophesy before many people, nations, and tongues, is fulfilled with the two olive trees, with whom Christ will be in Holy Spirit, the same one that comes in the angel who comes with the seal of the living God. That is with the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 7, to call and gather together 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 from each tribe. That is why in Revelation chapter 11 shows the scene that will unfold in those days. And then, that is in Revelation chapter 11 from 1 to 14. And Revelation 11 from 15 to 19 proclaims that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, of His Messiah, of His Anointed One. And the power of the kingdom of the Gentiles will be removed and given to Christ. The nations, the kingdoms of this world, are given, granted to Christ, to the Messiah. In other words, the stone cut out without hand, which is the coming of the Lord in His coming, establishes the kingdom of God on earth. The statue will disintegrate in the stage of the feet of iron and clay. It is a very glorious time for the children of God. But notice what the Reverend William Branham says on page 109 in the seals. Lord Jesus, the hour are growing late. It may be even later than we are thinking. There, he draws Star of David at the beginning of that paragraph. And we are happy to see this hour approaching. It is the most glorious hour that the world has ever known for the believer. But for the rejecter, the most saddest time that could ever be. They couldn't find words in the alphabet letters to make words that could express the trouble and sorrow that lays ahead. And neither is there words could be formed from our alphabet to express blessings that lays ahead for the believer. And there he writes, the most glorious hour for the believer, the saddest hour for the rejecter. Because it is either received or rejected. We are among those who have received the fulfillment of what was promised that He would be carrying out in the midst of His church at the end time. Therefore, for us, it is the most glorious time. It is the time in which there are no words to express the great blessing that we have been given. It's been for me a great privilege to be able to speak to you on this occasion, in this study, in these brief words about this subject, which is very but very extensive. And now in the message, we will be hearing there also a lot of information, which, united to all of this, we can have a clear picture. And as I told you this morning, whoever fully understands this message that we are going to hear today will clearly understand what has been spoken today and everything that we have been speaking in this ministry under the tent. So ask God to open your understanding on this occasion. And whatever you don't understand now, pray to God and don't start talking. Because what good is it for you to talk? You become like a hotshot. Me, 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 everything me. Let the Holy Spirit be the me in you. And not you with your ego saying, I've been here since the beginning. I know, I know, I know. Look, and it says that nothing has been written about the seventh seal. At the end time is when that mystery would be opened. And he said to him there, John, don't write that. Let it pass. I'll reveal it when it needs to be done. They'll stagger over that. May God help us not to stumble. The title deed in the hands of the human race. What we all desire are the blessings of God. Everything we desire is not to be here. When that happens, the great tribulation, but rather, we want to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we know that there is a number, and that there will not be one less or one more. Brother Branham used to say, if there are two, then I am one of those two. It is in the book of the seals. And if there is one, then I want to be that one. But there is a group, and there is a number that has already been foreordained before the foundation of the world to be from among those who will be transformed. The title deed, in the hands of the human race. And where will that title deed come to? To those who have come from God. To those who have come from that great theophany. Let us stand. And thus, we will be then preparing ourselves. I don't know if we have a hymn that our brother Jose Guillermo has. So then, that Him, King of Righteousness, is beautiful. We can sing that too. I don't know if whoever sang it or whoever you have in there in your schedule is a song that speaks to us about those who have come from you. And that's us. Ah, Sister Melissa was the one who sang it. It's a very beautiful song. It is of our brother Luis Young, right? And we call upon his name and we thank him for placing us in this time. May he be delighted. Delight me, Lord, with your revelation, sweetened my life with your word. Amen, Lord. Lead me on the path of righteousness. Sanctify me to live in your presence. Restore my heart to your love. Never leave my side. Be my strength in my weakness. Your mercy is forever. King of righteousness and of love, that's what you are to the people who love you. Those who have come from you call upon your name and praise thee. King of righteousness and of love, that's what you are to the people who love you. those who have come from you, call upon your name and praise thee. We have come from Him. In other words, we are His attributes. That is why at this end time we praise Him, we glorify Him, and we exalt His name, His new name. Those true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Those are the ones He seeks. I love you, my King, my Lord. Singing to you and serving you is an honor. Accept this praise, O Lord, from this people who loves you and gives you glory. Restore my heart to your love. Never leave my side. Be my strength in my weakness. Your mercy is forever. King of righteousness and of love. That's what you are to the people who loves you. Those who have come from you, call upon your name and praise thee. King of righteousness and of love, that's what you are to the people who loves you. Those who have come from you, call upon your name and praise thee. Call upon your name and praise thee. The title deed in the hands of the human race, and not just in anyone's hand, is in our hands. In other words, in the elect of God, and it is there in the soul. The abstract, that deed, which is the Holy Spirit. Now we are understanding what the title deed is, and where the title deed, that word, that revelation, has to be, in the soul. That is the true birth, which is He in the most holy place, in the age of the cornerstone. And seemingly, there was nothing else. And as He said there, if there isn't, He forms it. But it was in His program that at this end time there would be an eternal age, the age of the cornerstone, where he would come as king, as lion, the title deed in the hands of the human race. In the dispensation of grace, the people were identified by what they had believed and accepted, which was the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord. And there was an identification. There was a confession. Now, if he said in his first coming, "Whoever shall confess me before man, him would I confess before my Father." And that is brought up to today in the dispensation of the kingdom, who we have received as our claimer. May God help us to soon enter a stage where will be carried out for the blessing of the church bride. Everything that was seen in the fulfillment of the 10th vision was already established by that ministry. It already came in a progressive way until it reached that activity. When we go into all those stages, those phases, everything will be so simple that we will hardly notice it. May God continue to give us of that supper that we are eating, of that bread of life, which we are receiving under the tent, that teaching that the Lord is giving, which are the thunders, the title deed in the hands of the human race. We leave with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.